Good morning.
Welcome to worship live and online. We're at the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, and one of the leading questions for us to focus on as we worship our Lord today and celebrate His goodness is this. If you know you have high blood pressure or some form of heart disease, do you ignore the signs and or the doctor's advice as well as the medication? If so, don't be surprised how that ends. If we know we have sinned and refuse to acknowledge it, should we be surprised how that can end? God does not mince words on the problem, the root problem among us, as well as the solution for us. And so as we hear God's word once again today, may it continue to take root in our hearts and move us to action. The service for today is printed out for us in the bulletin, including the hymns. For those online, if you haven't found the bulletin yet, it's found on our website under the media link or also under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. If you receive our emails on a weekly basis with all the worship and Bible study and weekly news leaks, you'll find it there as well. Let us now turn our attention to our opening hymn, The Lamb. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. This I call to mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Let us give glory to God, our light and our life. Let us pray. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. For without your help, we are unable to please you. Our first lesson for this Sunday comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, pointing out the fact that sin can come with lasting consequences. And yet, thankfully, God has provided a way to deal with this. We hear these words. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Do you have saving faith? How can you be sure of that? A reminder from 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth, the word of the Lord. We hear these responsive sentences, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I gain every
Please stand for our gospel reading. From the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, where we are encouraged to be careful not to put more weight on our own opinions than on God's word of truth. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, "Go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us now join in our confession of faith.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What are we meaning to say with these words? In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and he will give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated as we turn our attention to our next hymn, Lamb of God. It's from Christian Worship Supplement, number 748. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is possible because of God our Father's greatness and goodness, and through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus our attention back on the first reading. We hear these words from Ezekiel 18. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the working of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace, has brought you and me and countless others to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our rock and redeemer. 7 million, 48%, 100%. 7 million, an approximate number of how many people die each year from heart disease. And then there are other forms of heart disease that could be added to that number, which then raises up the number to 18 million plus. 48%. The estimated percentage of how many Americans suffer from heart disease. 100%. That's the percentage which relates to the fact that all people have spiritual heart disease. Now, with those first two numbers, the 7 million and the 48%, we recognize that those are serious numbers. As a society, we recognize that. And so we take steps in science and education to do something about heart disease, try to lower the death rate from heart disease, and to lower the percentage of people dealing with heart disease. Should it be any less effort when it comes to dealing with the even more serious problem of spiritual heart disease, which impacts not just 48%, not just 75%, but 100% of people? And that's what God, already through the prophet Ezekiel, and it's still applicable to us today, is addressing that 100% number, because God does not want to see the death of anyone. He wants people to live, and He's given the means to do that. It's not in science. There is education involved. It comes through His grace. And in His grace, God gives people a way to deal with that spiritual heart disease. He gives us a new heart. And so through the prophet Ezekiel, and with him and all believers, give thanks to God for your new heart. Why should we give thanks for this new heart? Because it is something that is totally undeserved, an undeserved action on God's part to give us a new heart. And yet with this new heart, recognize that we are enabled to live a changed life for the better. That message took a while to sink in Ezekiel's time, just as it takes time for people to acknowledge that message today, that there is a problem, 100% problem, and that there is a solution, but it's not rooted in them, but rather in God and His goodness through Christ Jesus. The problem then for the children of Israel was the spiritual idolatry that they kept flaunting in the face of God. And God would call them out on it through the prophets, and then they would repent, but then they'd fall right back into their ways again of worshiping other gods and putting their trust in other gods and in themselves rather than in the true God. Or they would treat God like an extra rabbit's foot in their pocket just in case they got into trouble. Well, we'll call to God in heaven. Ignoring, forgetting all that the Lord God of heaven and earth had done for them up to this point and had promised to do for them going forward. So the Lord called them out on it. He held the people responsible. Well, then the younger people said, why should we suffer for the sins of our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents, their spiritual adultery? We haven't bowed down to Baal like they have. So why should we suffer the consequences of being taken captive, going off to a foreign land, living in that land for a time? What did they fail to realize about themselves? That they too are guilty of sin. It may not have been spiritual adultery, but could they really say that wasn't the case when we examine all sin? Isn't any sin an offense against God? And so any sin then is deserving of the consequences of sin. And Romans 6 reminds us that the wages of sin is death. Why do people die of heart disease or COVID or whatever? Because of sin in the world. It may not be a specific sin that you and I have done or that our parents have done, but because of sin that we're all guilty of, there are consequences, and physical death is one of those consequences. And then spiritual death has also come as a result. We don't have a natural relationship with God. That's why we cannot decide to have God come into our life apart from God moving us to trust in Him. And then there comes eternal death. And that's the way all people are going if God did not and does not intervene with His goodness. So there are no excuses then and now when it comes to dealing with sin and its consequences. We can say, my parents made me that way, and there may be some truth to that, but still we have an accountability ourselves for our own actions. And that's what the Lord is making very clear. You can't continue to quote this proverb of, hey, that's our parents' fault, we're not responsible. We're all responsible in one way or another. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of the expectations of God. And His expectations are clear right away in the first commandment. You shall not have any other gods. Not equal to, not above, not even in your back pocket. And then all the commandments flow from that one. So there was no innocence then, as there is no innocence today. As we look around in our own world and in our own hearts, we have to admit, Lord, we have sinned. We don't deserve Your mercy. So thank God for Your new heart. A heart that He has made possible for you to have because of His mercy. Rooted in an undeserved action. It was promised to the people of Israel, and it was fulfilled, and we know of the fulfillment today. Jesus was promised to be the Savior of their sins. Keep looking ahead to God and His promises, and they would be okay. Instead, they kept losing their vision, trying to focus on what they did or did not do. And so God should be satisfied with that. And it turned into, generations later, the Pharisees at Jesus' time, we don't need a Messiah. We got ourselves. We got all this work righteousness built up and banked just in case. God has to take that into account. And Jesus said, along with the Father, no, I don't. Says who? Have you failed to read or remember the scriptures you claim to know? It's not by work righteousness that you get right with God and are saved. It's through the righteousness that the Messiah would and has brought to us. And Jesus indeed has done that. He has brought us his righteousness. He came and has lived that life that you and I fail to live, that God expects. Give thanks to God for that. And then also give thanks to God for the fact that Jesus took that righteous, perfect life to the cross and nailed all our sins on that cross. And so when he said, "It is finished," he indeed has meant that your sin and the sins of all people have been paid for. We have the opportunity for a new heart, the opportunity to have a long-standing relationship with God. It may be bumpy here on this side of heaven, but he's told us that will be the case. But hold on, because it is smooth as ice once we get to heaven. No more hunger, no more pain, no more thirsting and so forth. No more death. But now we are faced to deal with death as a reminder of the consequences, harsh consequences of sin, not just sin in general, but even our own sin. And so the importance of confessing our sins as we gather together publicly, of the importance of confessing our sins each day when we get up and throughout the day, to be cognizant of what God's expectations are and how we fall short of those. Because God has said, love him and your neighbor. It's not hard. But what do we do with those commands? Day in and day out, we fail to love God as we ought, and we fail to love our neighbor as we ought. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, for Jesus' sake. And the Lord in turn says, whether it be through a brother or sister or a pastor or a teacher, you're forgiven. Go in God's grace. Go and live a life of thanksgiving, thankful for that new heart by the Holy Spirit, using the means of grace God has given to you, a new heart that believes in the forgiveness that is yours, not by your own merit, but through the merit of Jesus Christ. And so live that changed life. That's what repentance is. It's a turner on a 180. I'm not going down that road of sin. But by God's grace, I'm going down this new road of life, now and for all eternity. Repent and live, God says. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of anyone. Make that point clear when you have a conversation with someone. Why is God unjust? Why is God killing all? God is not. He does not take pleasure. He didn't bring death into the world. We did. Our very first parents. But we can't put all the blame on them. We have responsibility too. As our sins rack up God's justice against us. And thankfully, God is just. For he points out, the soul that has sinned and is led to repentance will live. And so, dear friends, don't throw away this new heart that God has given you, this opportunity to live for him. Don't throw it away. But continue to forge on living your life for him. Live a constant life of repentance and live. For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. We need that reminder, don't we? Because sin still lingers on as long as we live in this side of heaven. Sin is still crouching at our door, trying to devour us. Satan is good at his craft. I mean, look at our society even too, where it seems where what was wrong is now considered right, and what was always considered right is now considered wrong. And the scriptures are thrown into, well, those were right, but now they're wrong. Well, how did that happen? Satan is good at his craft, inside the church and outside of the church. And so we need to be cognizant of the fact that sin still lingers, that it is not a time for us to take care of this new heart that God has given to us. Just as if you got a new physical heart, would you go ahead and do all the stuff you did before that which led to that heart going bad? Or would you treasure it and treasure the life that you have because of this new heart? It's not any different. In fact, it's even more so the motivation to treasure this new heart and to take care of it. And we do so by continually feasting on the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. We do so by praying to God, asking Him to recognize sin crouching at our door and give us the strength to kick it out before it takes over our heart. And He does just that. That's why He encourages us through Peter, grow in God's grace and the knowledge of His word. There's no time on this side of heaven to not grow in His grace and His goodness. There's no time in this side of heaven to take care of this new heart that God has given to us so that it will continue to beat for God now and into eternity. So keep sin behind you. The prophet Ezekiel had good encouragement by the Holy Spirit to the people then and to us today. The problem is not with God, the problem is with us. The solution is with God, and He has made it possible for us to have that solution. He has given us a new heart, and with that new heart comes a new mind. Give thanks to God for your new heart. A heart that was undeserved to be given to us, and a heart that enables us to live a changed life, showing love for God and love to our neighbor. We may not be able to change the numbers on physical heart disease. That doesn't mean we don't try. But with each opportunity we have to present the gospel, the Holy Spirit may just use that opportunity that you take to have that soul you reached out to not be a statistic for hell, but rather a reason to opportunity to rejoice now and into heaven. So give thanks for your new heart and the opportunity to share that opportunity with somebody else. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the singing of You Are God, We Praise You. We're also thankful for the fact that God moves our new hearts to support the work of the church. So again, thank you for your faithful efforts in continuing to support our ministry here and throughout our church body. Let us now turn to the prayer of the church. Praise to you, Holy Spirit. We worship and glorify you as the Lord and the giver of life. As you were present at the beginning of the world to shed life on all created things, as you gave a new life of understanding to the disciples in your Pentecost baptism of fire, so by the baptism of water with the word, you have made the light of faith shine in our hearts to know Jesus as our Lord. In thanksgiving for your gifts to us, we confess. Holy Spirit, all-seeing counselor and fountain of all spiritual gifts, stand by us in the weakness of our sinful flesh. Grant us a right understanding of the truths that Jesus taught. Give us strength to endure with patience whatever afflictions God may send into our lives. Help us intercede for us. Train us that we may pray to the Father with boldness and confidence. Preserve us by the power of your word in our most holy faith as members of the church, the body of Jesus, where there is forgiveness for all. Holy Spirit, comfort us in every need. In these gray and last days of the world, strengthen our feeble hands, steady our weak knees, encourage our fearful hearts. Remind us of your word and promises. Be strong, do not fear. Your Lord will come again. He will come to save you. And in your final mighty creative act, O Holy Spirit, raise up our bodies so that we, together with all the saints, may lift up our heads and with glorified eyes see our Savior drawing near. And we also pray, Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. For those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives, and continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. In Jesus' name, we raise up these petitions. Amen. Let us now continue with the singing, "There Is a Redeemer," from Christian Worship Supplement number 747.
Please stand
for prayer. We join in the prayer our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Please be seated.
Good to see you in worship, whether that be live here or online. Thank you to our musicians. Beautiful enjoyment of your gifts given by God to help edify our worship. Emphasize Bible study taking place. We're doing a personalizing salvation long gospel Bible study, 9:15 to 9:45. Then the Sunday school materials for children and families. That is now being sent directly to your house. If you have questions, contact Pastor Groth regarding how to sign up for those materials. Again, see the weekly news and other information that would pertain to the work of the church and your connection with this work. Go to our website or see those links that are sent out by email. If you want to get that email, if you're not getting it already, contact the church office. We'll put you on that email list. We do plan to follow this current plan of 8 o'clock indoor, 10 o'clock outdoor, 9:15, 9:45 Bible study through the month of October. Again, weather permitting, if the weather's inclement, for the 10 o'clock, we'll bring that indoors following all the protocols. Just a reminder, too, your bulletin, you can take that home with you, do the reflections, or recycle them. They're recycled by baskets by either exit door. Again, you're walking out the side aisles, and you're leaving from the back to the front, but not before we get to see this month's edition of our Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. COVID-19 has had a major impact on our congregations and schools and how we all do our Savior's work together. That's true at Martin Luther College as well. But in many ways, the pandemic has further reinforced the need for preparing the next generation of pastors, teachers, and staff ministers.
Before the pandemic, the graduates of Martin Luther College faced a challenge unique to our modern times.
So smile and introduce yourselves.
The people they were ministering to were busy. But the coronavirus cleared away many of those distractions, and that presents an opportunity.
This is why we exist. Opportunities like this aren't our problem. They are our opportunity to reach a world that's suddenly asking questions of eternal importance and of life and death.
Preparing the workers who can lead our churches forward in Jesus has always been the mission of Martin Luther College. And this new generation has a special desire to make a difference in the world.
Also get an opportunity to grow with others. That
you can know by faith what I'm doing matters for these people forever. Whether it's the little ones in a classroom or the older ones in a congregation, we are helping a new generation grasp, I can make a difference with my life for people forever.
No one wants these students to be saddled with debt as they begin lives of ministry. And that's why the leadership at the college is focused on plans to increase student assistance.
It is to the benefit of gospel ministry and our good as those they serve that they are not burdened by this sense, I have this huge financial debt. We are blessed. The less they have to think about that, and the more they can think about the ministry God has called them to do.
In addition to making college more affordable, the MLC 25th anniversary campaign, called Equipping Christian Witnesses, also has goals of increasing enrollment and funding needed updates of facilities to serve our students better.
That it can be a campus that they are glad to be present on also because it's a beautiful place and functional for their years of college education.
We rejoice in the mission of MLC to train a core of Christian witnesses who are qualified to meet the ministry needs of Wells.
Pastor Rich Gergel, whom you just met, began serving as the new president of Martin Luther College in July. As MLC continues their long tradition of serving and equipping the next generation of called workers in Christ's kingdom.